morning we're going to talk about hope. Hope. Hope's an interesting word. You know that you really can't figure out what hope is until you're hopeless. You know, it's one of those things that you don't know it till you get there and you say, I need hope. You know, a series of events happened this week that gave somebody the hope that they were missing. His name is Jason. And God has been sorting this out for several weeks, this one meeting. Unbeknownst to me, unbeknownst to him, unbeknownst to everybody else involved. I brought the pace car in a couple weeks ago. There was a smell of gas, and the idiot light had come on. I was supposed to go to admissions to get it tested, and I can't get it tested with the idiot light on. So I went and brought it to the garage, and they said, well, bring it back on Friday, and we'll fix it. Okay. They called me Monday and said, hey, why don't you just drop it off and leave it here if you don't need it, and we'll sort out fixing it. It's okay. So left it with the garage, and they fixed it, and they called me and late Wednesday and said, it's all set, come and get it. So I'm trying to figure out, well, should I go now? Or even thought about going on Thanksgiving and getting it. And you know what I said? You know, I asked somebody to give me a ride and said, whatever you want, whenever it's convenient for you, you call me and we'll go get it. So Friday, right around noontime, I got a text, is now okay? Certainly. So I got a ride out. I picked the pace car up. So I'm deciding which way to go home. And now, because they were playing in the gas tank, I didn't want to leave, you know, 15 gallons of gas for them to lug around every time they took the tank out. So I'd run it down pretty low. And I said, well, I got to get gas. Where should I get gas? You know, and you say, you know, these things we talk about in our head, you know, like somebody's sitting in the car and we're talking with them and they're listening. Well, so my Scrooge light went on. So I'm going to the cheap place. So I says, well, how am I going to get there? Because I can get there two or three different ways. And, you know, and I picked the easiest. So I'm heading down the road. And as I'm heading down the road, the light goes on in my head. Hey, well, you got to drive by the place that does the emissions to get gas. And then that other voice says, yeah, you can't do your emissions yet. They just reset the switch. You got to wait a certain period of time for it to go. And the other voice said, no, go get your emissions done on the way to the gas station. The other voice says, it's not going to work. It's going to fail. And I says, I know what I do. I'll call them. If there's a wait, then I'll just go get gas, go home and do it another day. But if there's not a wait, then obviously God wants me to go. Because God knows I hate standing in line. That is just not my place. Call up. Nope, nobody's here. Wide open. I'm 5 minutes away. I says, all right, I'm on my way. I pull in, give them the $20. Sit down. Nobody in the waiting room. I, you know, don't have to worry about social distancing or anything. You know, this is like perfect. I couldn't. And I'm sitting in a chair saying, thank you, God, for blessing me with no line at the emission station to get the car done. I didn't know what God had planned. God said, you're right where I want you to be. He didn't say that, but I figured it out later that it had nothing to do with blessing me with no line at the emission station. The fella did my car, and he came out, and I'm walking. He says, can I ask you a question? Sure. That generally opens up a big, he says, is this your car? I said, yeah. He says, I got to tell you something. He says, I haven't lived a good life. So I've done some things wrong. I've been arrested, been in jail. He says, but I'm trying to get it sorted out. He says, and part of that is I'm getting a pardon. I'm working on getting a pardon so my record can be clean. Says, you know, I was over at the state police headquarters in Middletown, and man, I was nervous. I'm sitting at the desk, and the lady's on the other side of the desk, and she could see that I wasn't doing well. She says, are you okay? I says, well, I'm pretty uncomfortable, pretty nervous. She goes, can I give you something? And he said, yeah. And she said, and he told me, he says, and then she reached in her desk and brought out a New Testament and handed me a New Testament. I didn't know what to do with it. He says, well, the last few weeks haven't been great weeks. My girlfriend's grandmother passed away. My grandmother passed away. My dad crashed the quad. He says, and the other day I'm sitting in the bathtub. I says, I'm not sure I need to know. He says, but he's sitting in a bathtub watching a hunting show. All right. I don't have a bathtub, to my wife's dismay. We'll get there. I'm going to get to Eric, and we're going to fix that one. We get a shower, so I can't watch a hunting show in the shower. But he's sitting in the bathtub watching a hunting show. And he says, as the hunting show's going on, the guy in the hunting show says, you need to get your life straightened out with God. And he says, talking to me. So he says, I wasn't sure what that had to do with the hunting show. He says, I know whose hunting show you're watching. He says, whose? He says, Hank Parker's. He says, what do you mean? He says, because Hank's a Christian, and I know his hunting shows, and I know what he talks about on his hunting shows. And he says, but then it happened again. And a guy on the TV says, I'm watching a show. He says, you need to get right with God. He says, that's twice now in the last few weeks. He says, I don't know. I didn't know what to make of it. He says, and then I come back from lunch today. And his car is waiting for me to do a mission. He says, what do you think that's all about? I said, well, I can tell you one thing. He says, God wants you. God wants you. He says, that's the same thing my friend kept saying. He says, so I know you got a Christian friend. And I said the same thing to him that his Christian friend said. So I know it came from God. And I know this is why I needed to drop my car off and not have it for several days. And this is why I didn't need to go get it until a certain time. And this is why I needed to go get gas. And on the way to the gas station, go to this place so that Jason had hope. I said, Jason, God has blessed you with somebody in person to be here face to face. I live right over that hill. Here's my name, my number, my email. You've got any questions whatsoever, call me. Don't hesitate. I'm right here. God brought me to you so that we can see each other and I could be here to help you. I said, Jason, I can want it for you all, but I can't do it for you. It's in your heart. You have to do it. I says, it's not about any big formal ceremony or anything. It's about three things. And I talked to him about the thief on the cross. And I talked to him about the prodigal son. I said, all you need to do is acknowledge God in your heart. Ask him for his forgiveness and invite him in to your life. And guess what? It's done. It's sealed. God is in the hope business. Because without Christ, we wouldn't have any hope. The story went on. I shared it with the garage. It's a Christian garage that takes care of our things. And I called them. And, you know, the sales manager is also a pastor. And I shared with Adam. And Adam said, Jason Diamond? I said, yeah. He says, I know him. I met him last week when I went down to T&B Motors. And I had diamond glass on my thing. And he says, you got my last name on your shirt. God not only brought me into Jason's life, but he brought another pastor into Jason's life. And that's the garage that Bowens brings cars to get emissions done. And guess what? There's going to be God crisscrossing this young man's life. And he's going to have access to God. And if I didn't call Adam and share with him the story, Adam wouldn't know that the next time he goes down there to get a car to check in with Jason and see how he's doing. God not only gives us hope, but he holds on to us and he takes us and he leads us to where he is. And you know what? I had nothing to do with it. I'd like to tell you that I sat there and planned it out. I had the greatest plan. I was just going to get cheap gas. That's all. And you know, and we were talking about it yesterday, and then Eric goes, wait a minute. Those sensors take much longer to reset than that. I says, yeah, I know, but I didn't reset the sensors. God did. Because I passed my emissions test with no problems whatsoever. And it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have. But and God's a better mechanic than I am, I guess. You know, we talk about hope. What is it? Where? How is it real? How is it in our lives? You know, hope is a trust, a reliance, a desire with the expectation of or belief that it will happen. Does God want to save the world? Sometimes he shows us how much he wants to save the world. How does a mechanic tell you he's in the bathtub watching a Hunger show? Gee, I wouldn't tell my best friend to sit in the bathtub watching a car show, you know? let alone some guy driving a car like that, right? I mean, just think about how much God moved through that to give that young man hope. Where do we look for hope? We look for it in people, possessions, jobs, religion, church. We look for it everywhere, don't we? Do you know where we look for it? We look for it in ourselves, don't we? We think we have to be the hope, don't we? There's some characters in the scripture that thought that they were it. One of them was Peter. You know, I told you that we were gonna take a stop once in a while and think about Peter, Paul, and Mary. Remember? Way back in, September, I think, I came and talked about Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter was an interesting guy, wasn't he? He was a fisherman. How many people know any fishermen? I'm not supposed to talk about my wife, but she likes lobster. But she enjoys going down to the dock and getting her lobster right from the lobstermen. And she chuckles every time about her encounters with the coarse mouth, toothless, smelly lobsterman, okay? So I say that to say that Peter was a fisherman, okay? He fit right in, right down on the docks with the foul mouth, foul smelling, but it's the best tasting lobster. And one day this guy named Christ come along. Say, hey, can I borrow your boat? He looked at him, and I'm sure that the scripture tempered what he said. He said, we've been out fishing all night. We ain't caught anything. We just done. We want to go home. Jesus looked at him, give him one of those looks. Imagine that look. Peter said, okay, take the boat. Do what you got to do. And Christ used the boat. And then what did he do? He said, come here. Let me show you how to fish. And, you know, just know what I know about Peter. He looked at him and said, yeah, okay. Come on, grab the nets and let's go. Peter said, you don't fish now. You fish at night. So he put out the boats and Christ filled his nets. Peter said, I can't even get, hey, come here and help. And he dragged the nets in. Christ said, tell you what you're going to do. Why don't you follow me? Peter said, okay. He says, this guy knows where the fish are. He says, from now on, you're not going to be a fisherman. You're going to be a fisherman. But you know what? All Peter's imperfections and all his challenges and all the stuff that went on in Peter's life went with him. You know, each one of us got stuff. It isn't so attractive sometimes. And Christ used Peter to show us his transparency. They're out in a boat one night, and here comes Christ walking on the water. What did Peter say? Christ, if that's you, let me walk on water. Come on. Now, Peter's a fisherman. He knows. But he stepped out of that boat. He knows his safety and security is in that boat, but he stepped out of that boat, didn't he? Took a couple steps, and he says, I can't walk on water. He started to sink. Christ laughed at him, didn't he? No, he reached down, he picked him up, put him back in the boat, right? One day Christ asked, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ said, you're blessed because that wasn't revealed to you by man. That was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And they sat around the table, and Christ told them how that night he would be betrayed, and that night he would be handed over to the Russian, the Romans, the Russians. So I got my R's mixed up there. Handed over to the Romans, and he would be crucified. And Peter said, I'm not going to let it happen. Not while I'm on watch. And Christ said, Peter, you don't even know what you're saying. He says, before the sun comes up tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three. Never happened. Never happened. And in the garden, the guards came to get him. Peter pulled out a sword and he cut off the ear. Christ turned and said, no, not that. He picked the ear up and he put it back. And he submitted himself. Peter, that night, by the fire, was asked, you were with him. I don't know the man. No, you. Yes, you were definitely one of his. I'm telling you, I don't know the man. Yeah. You're one of them. No, I don't. Then he heard the rooster crow and he realized what he had done. And he went out, it says he wept bitterly. And I believe those next few days or weeks in Peter's life were empty, were terrible. He couldn't deal with it. And he said one day, he said, I'm going fishing. Just going back to know what I know how to do. And they went out, and what happened? Didn't catch any fish. Another night, no fish. And they're sailing back in the shore. And there on the shore is a fire and a man waiting. John said, that's the Lord. Peter didn't say, if it's you, let me walk on water. It's not going to happen on my watch. What did he do? He grabbed his coat, he jumped overboard, and he swam to shore. Because he realized what he needed. He realized where his hope was. He realized that without Christ, he was nothing. And where was Christ? Cooking breakfast. Come, bring some of the fish. Oh, we didn't get to that part yet. We don't have any fish. Jesus says, well, throw your net on the right side of the boat. And then they had fish, didn't they? I think it was 153. There's a number in scripture. More fish than they'd ever caught before. And the next, and they pulled them in and he brought some fish and Jesus cooked them breakfast. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And on that beach, Christ not only supplied a physical need, but he supplied a spiritual need. Peter never looked back because he found hope. And the only place that hope can be found. True hope can only be found in something or someone who has the power and authority to change things. True hope is found in no one else but Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Hope is more complex than we think it is. And just in that little story about Jason, wouldn't have been possible unless Christ made it possible. Unless he came and he submitted himself and sacrificed himself. We're justified through faith, and we have peace with God because of Jesus. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not in ourselves, not in our job, not in our possessions, not in worldly things, but godly things. The glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in what? Sufferings. Because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. How does that work? Sometimes the best things in life are attained by struggling for them. Sometimes the things that are just given to us so easily and freely, we don't value at all. Sometimes the things we work for and we persevere through are the most valuable. And to persevere, it requires that you have a little bit of a thing called character. What is the character of God? Cheat sheets on the wall. To say love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Need all these things to persevere. When we persevere, that becomes our character. And that'll give us hope. Why does it give us hope? Why is hope the byproduct of suffering, of perseverance, of character development? How many people are exactly the same way they are now that they were when they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior? Raise your hand if you haven't changed a bit. Have to change, don't we? Don't we? It's a process, isn't it? And every time we get it right, what do we feel like? There's hope for me. There's hope for me. Every challenge we persevere through, every time we lift off the gas pedal and let somebody else in, whether they deserve it or not, there's hope. because we're gaining character and maturity, right? Right? There's hope for us. That's where hope, that's where we realize that God wants to have a place in there. And he wants to show us that there's a different way to do this. There's a different way to do this. And that hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Right? There's somebody in there rooting for us. There's somebody in there pulling for us, right? There's somebody in there reminding us and prompting us. Come on, you got this. You can do this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And you know what? We know that, don't we? We know who we are. We can't try to keep it hidden from the world. We tried not to let other people know, but we know who we are. We know what goes on in our head. We know what goes on in our heart. And we know that Christ died for us, and we didn't deserve it. That's hope. Somebody would do something for you, and you didn't deserve it. Guess what he expects for us to do? Same thing for other people. Same thing for other people. Oops. Got my arrows. Since We have now been justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? How much more? How much more is there than the life we were living before? How much more? Jesus says to his disciples, when I'm gone, you're going to do even greater things. Sometimes we think hope ends. I attained hope. I'm good. It's an endless process. There's so much more to experience, so much more. And it requires the suffering, the perseverance, the character building. And we realize how big hope is. How grandiose our hope in Christ is. And one day, we're going to stand before God and we're going to find the ultimate, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Welcome home. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Hope is an interesting thing. And there's only one place to find true hope. Jesus Christ. Because all else is fading away. All else will fail us, won't it? Even ourselves. Many of us place our hope in ourselves. Many of us place our hope in our own understanding and our own abilities. Not going to get us there, is it? We need to place our hope in the only source, Jesus Christ. Hope is found in no one else. Amen.